those who look on him are radiant. They'll never be ashamed. They'll never be ashamed. This morning cry, and the Lord heard me and saved me from the Son of God. Surrounds his saints, he'll do for them. He will deliver them. Magnify the Lord with me. Come exalt his name forever. Glorify the Lord with me. Come exalt his name forever. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, blessed is he,
let's
bless the Lord every day.
Never. Brother Zane Estes, could you come? We're going to dismiss our children to Children's Church at this time, age 5 to 12, all the children from age 5 to 12. This is the first time that we've had Brother Zane Estes come. I've heard him preach multiple times on Wonderful Spirit. Let's get in with this man of God as he preaches to us this morning.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You love the Lord this morning? Let's give God a hand clap of praise, can we, church? Praise the Lord. What a joy it is to be with you today. I've been looking forward to getting right here and believing God to help us. I do want to say I appreciate your pastor so much. God bless you, Brother Matthew. Thank you for the wonderful accommodations that you've given. Thank you for the invitation. I know you guys have had a lot on you in the past weekend. You've been service after service, and you come back, and you precious people, you got one more guest speaker, huh? Right? That's just how it works, huh? But I'm honored to be here. I really am. Now, I want to go ahead and apologize for my voice right up front. I sound like I've been gargling sandpaper. I was preaching a youth camp last week. I was the day speaker, and one of my little girls, 12-year-old Annalise, she got baptized in the Holy Ghost Thursday night, so you better believe I was a shouting amen. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm a happy dad. I can tell you that for sure. Praise the Lord. Amen. But I'm going to do my best this morning and believe God to help us. I know how it is whenever you're brand new at a church, you know. I mean, it's kind of one of those checkout services, you know. They're checking you out. Don't feel too bad, I'm checking you out too, huh? Kind of works both ways, by the way. But, you know, if we're not careful, we'll get so wrapped up in that checkout stuff that we may just miss what God desires for our life today. You know, and to hear from heaven is just the most precious thing that we can have. Just to be a part of this, what you all experienced over these past few days, this the incommunicable presence of God, it's life-changing. You know, you never leave the house of God, the presence of God, the same way that you came in. There's no way, now today, there's no way you're going to be able to leave the same way you came in. It just doesn't work like that. You'll either draw closer to God or you go further from God. But no person leaves neutral after they've been in the presence of God. And so while we're here, we can draw close to Him and let Him change us. Because we are a part of something everlasting, which is a precious thing. Kingdoms come and kingdoms go. But this glorious gospel is forever. Amen. Can you say amen, church? I mean that. Now, just I'm going to get in this preaching. Just relax, okay? Think about it. I mean, travel with us 2,000 years in the past, all right? And on one side, you have the might, the majesty, the military, the money of Rome. They have everything, absolute world dominance. And on the other hand, over here, you have this ragtag group of men whose leader died the death of a criminal. They say that he even rose from the dead. Now, who do you think is going to outlive whom? I just want to remind you something, friend. 2,000 years later, we're still calling our boys Peter, James, and John, and we call our dogs Caesar and Nero. Say amen, somebody. I'm telling you, this thing's an everlasting. Oh, give Him praise. This thing is an everlasting kingdom. It's forever and ever and ever and ever. And I want to be a part of it, don't you? Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with us, please, to the book of Colossians, chapter number 3 this morning, beginning in verse number 1. Now, I want to read Colossians 3, verses 1 through 5, and then I'll drop down to verse number 11. I know there's a lot of activities afterward, meals provided and singing after there. And we just invite you to stick around, stay around, and let's keep our mind on the Lord. I know how it is, you know, when food's in the background and all that kind of good stuff, but bear with me. Hallelujah. Now, God's word, it reads like this. If, that's a huge, it's a small word in English. It's actually a small word in Greek, but it's huge. Because everything depends on that one if. If not, then this is not applicable. But if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. Now drop down to verse 11, please. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. But Christ is all. Paul is saying, I've come to this place in my life where it's not just a song and it's way more than a slogan. But Jesus is really everything to me. Friend, that is God's desire for our lives. That Jesus would be everything to us. I just want to preach this for just a little while this morning, and a little while can vary, so you know, don't hold me to nothing, okay? Let me just preach a little while just on this simple thought. When Christ is all. When Christ is all. You going to help me this morning? All right, I heard about half of you. I'll take what I can get. Let's lift our hearts up to heaven. Let's ask God to have his way in this house. Let me hear you pray, church. Father, I thank you, God, that you're able to touch. I'm glad to know that you're a God that cares. And I'm praying in the name of Jesus that you would speak to us yet again. You have met with us, God, and we are so thankful for that. You have blessed us. We are so appreciative of your divine mercy and goodness and grace. But I pray one more time, good Father, come by and minister in this house like only you can. Do what only the Lord can do in this place. Meet us around these altars, and for this we give you the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name we do pray, and everybody in God's house said amen. Amen. Shake the hand of somebody beside you. Tell them I'm glad to see you this morning in the house of the Lord. Brother White, you can shake your wife's hand. It's okay. You can do that. He's liable to buy you flowers on the way home, isn't he? Brings back the memories, don't it? Beloved, let me just ask you a question this morning. Now, don't answer it openly, but do answer it honestly. Is Jesus really everything in your life? I do not ask you this morning, do you give Jesus a portion, nor do you give Jesus a place, or do you just give Jesus a little slither of your life? But does Jesus really have preeminence in all that we are and all that we say? I can assure you, across the fruited plains of America this morning, there's men and women, and they think simply because they came to church, they sat on a pew, they can check it off the box, they can say, I've done my chore this week, I've given Jesus a place in my life, and that's all that he wants. No, beloved, Jesus is not interested in just a place in your life. Jesus is interested in preeminence in our life, and he would be everything. Not simply winking at him on the weekend, but walking with him every single day. Now, friend, hear me. When we found him, we found everything. Say amen. I'm in this world. Friend, I want to remind you this morning, beloved, this world is still an enemy against our life. You don't just have one enemy. Amen. You got three. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And this world is dead set on trying to convince your mind that there's something else out there that'll fulfill you and give you joy. No, ma'am, no, sir. You found it when you found him. You found it when you found the Lord. That's everything. Now you can go deeper in Jesus, but you'll never go deeper than Jesus. Amen. You can go deeper in his word, but you'll never go deeper than his word. It's not Jesus in self-help. It's not Jesus in motivational speakers. It's not Jesus in New Age philosophy. It's not Jesus in a brand new car. I'm telling somebody, you found joy when you found Jesus. You found peace when you found the Prince of Peace. And if you keep looking for something else to fulfill you, you're going to come up short. He's everything. I said he's everything. Can you give him praise? Is he really all in all to you and me? See, that's what I'm coming across as I just travel to these United States and even overseas. We're being sold this glittery gospel where it's cash and Cadillacs And I don't know what you call them. I just call them the joy boys. You know, they get up there and they smile and they tell you, praise God. God's here to bless your every financial need. And as long as you get that new blessing, then you'll find joy. Let me tell you something, beloved. You take that trash overseas and see if it works. Because there's folks out there, they ain't got running water, but they got peace like a river. Say, man, they don't have the things that we have. But they wake up every morning knowing that their names in the Lamb's Book of Life. And they say, blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm telling somebody, if you'll just surrender to him, you'll find the joy you're looking for. You'll find the peace you've been desiring. Somebody give him praise. Now everything hinges on that one little word, if. Because if not, none of what Paul is speaking about today is applicable. It says, seek those things which are above. Set your affections on things above, and mortify therefore the members of the deeds of this flesh. Amen. Mortify therefore your members. Now, beloved, here's what I'm saying today. Amen. Paul gives you and me this litmus test, because so many times we can say in our mind, oh yeah, Jesus is everything to me, but there's a disconnect between our profession and our confession. Beloved, the Bible didn't let us off that easy. Paul says if he really is, if Jesus is really everything to you and me, that is toward him, it must be a life that is toward him. Amen. It's not just what I say with my mouth. It's what I do with my life. And Paul says this. He says if he's really everything to you and me, then number one this morning, Jesus will captivate my ambitions. Say amen to me, somebody. This is what he said in his word. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Beloved, what you seek is what you're ambitious after. Now, beloved, the Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I wonder today what really captivates your heart. I'm not saying you got to go live in some banyan tree. I'm not saying you got to go live in a cave. But I do ask you this. Is there anything in this life that's more captivating to you than God's darling son? If it is, lay it on an altar and get it out. Does Jesus really captivate your heart? Friend, this world is trying to captivate you. You can't. Now, y'all probably don't have these stores over here, but we do in Kentucky. They're called Walmart, right? Every time you go down the road and there's one more advertisement, you know what they're trying to say? They're saying, you know what? If you would just buy our product, if you would just wear this, if you would just do this, why, you would be just as happy as all the pretty people advertising it for us. And beloved, it's a lie from the pits of hell. Say amen. You don't find your joy in anything but him, and it has to be captivated by him. And if I say that I'm born to captivate me, your ways captivate me, your word captivates me, your wisdom captivates me. Hallelujah! Do the ways of God still captivate your heart? I read this morning. Actually, I take that back. Alexander Scorby read it to me this morning. Hallelujah. There in Psalms, where it said Moses knew his ways. He showed his works unto the children of Israel. And man, I hit that pause button. I said, do you hear that? Here, Israel, they are interested in the works of God. Here's Moses. He's interested in the ways of God. And there's a world of difference in that. I wish God would use me in miracles. I wish God would. I hope God does. I believe in it. I'm not against that. I believe in miracles, but I trust in Jesus. Say amen to me, somebody. I don't care if they're open up blinded eyes. If they're getting away from that book, I'm saturating that place in my absence. Say amen. I'm not sticking around that place. Amen. Listen, I'm glad God may work through miracles in your life, but here's what he really wants. Not for you to run after them miracles, but for you to run after the man of God, or rather the son of God. To run after Jesus, to know his ways, to know his desires. That's what he wants. You be interested in the ways of God, and he'll have a way of doing his works through you. You're interested in the works of God, you're going to lose the ways of God. Say amen. There has to be a heart that says, God, I'm still captivated by you alone, by you alone. Joan of Arc once said, every man gives his life for what he believes in. The problem is, she said, most men just don't believe in very much. Help me, God. Oh, go ahead and say it, son. Okay, I will. Oh, Lord, it's been wonderful being with you. God bless you. Thank you very much. We've got some men, and they're giving their life over nothing. I'm saying they can tell you every score that ever took place between the Broncos and the Billy Goats. They can tell you every linebacker by first. Same, don't back up on me there, church. Listen, beloved, all I'm saying is they're so enthralled with those things that they have forgot the peace that passes understanding. Hey, don't back up on me there, beloved. I'm telling you, there's a world that's out there that's vying over your heart, that's vying over what you're ambitious over. And I'm telling somebody, it's time you come back and say, Lord, let Jesus be center in my life again. Can you give him praise? Paul says it like this. It's Colossians 2 and 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, and not after Christ. Now that word spoil, it don't mean like, you know, the milk went bad in the fridge, you know. That it's a war term, it's a military term. Now sometimes in the Old Testament, the Lord would tell them, don't touch anything from that enemy. You don't touch anything, but there's other times, Brother White, he would tell them, you go in there and everything's yours. Every cow, every couch, it's yours. They would go in and they would spoil that, they would carry away things from the enemy's camp. And Paul says, what I'm concerned with is that some of you are getting carried away with things of this world. That you're getting carried away with things that mean nothing. Beloved, if all you do is find your temporary joy in the fleeting things of this world, you are raking water. You are shoveling smoke. It is vanity of vanity. It'll never leave you peace. It'll never give you joy. It may seem fun today, but at the end of that road, there's nothing there. But if you'll make up your mind today, I'm going to get on the rock. I'm going to stay with the Lord. I'm going to walk this way. I'm going to live this life. I don't care how old you are. You'll always have something to look forward to because your life has been captivated by the King. Can you say amen? It's a heart that says, Lord, captivate me again. Truly, God, don't let my heart be pulled by the frivolous things of this world. There again, I'm not, you know, all work, no play makes Jack a dull boy. Don't misunderstand me. But you've got to seek your own heart. You've got to seek God within your own heart and answer that question yourself. And say, now, Lord, has this become an idol in my life? Now, wait a second, brother. If that's not an idol, good things, when put before the living God, still become an idol. I've been there overseas, a few places I'll just leave. And you go into one of those stores, most of all those stores, you'd have a little Buddha. And what? He'd have one little bowl, and it would be full of rice. Another bowl would be full of tea leaves. Another bowl would be full of sugar. It'd be something for their God to eat and something for their God to drink and something to make it sweet, you know? I went out there one morning. Son, somebody done set a Red Bull energy drink in front of one of them Buddhas. I said, now that is one lazy God. Amen. And Buddha's going, I ain't answering nothing until I get this down, you know? I find it interesting, though, when it comes to idols, I find it interesting that every morning they have to get up and say, you get up. If you have, I promise you, if you have an idol in your life, you have to feed it. Amen. And you'll have to feed it when sometimes you don't want to feed it. Don't you back up them. I ain't against a hobby. Good mercy knows. I'm not saying that. Don't take me in the wrong context. But when that thing becomes an idol, you have to feed it when you don't want to feed it. You have to take care of it when you don't want to take care of it. You have to go after it. It don't come after you. Can I tell you, I didn't get up and feed my idol this morning. I got up and my God fed me. Thank you, Jesus. He supplied my every need. He gave me this day my daily bread. He leads me along the path. He watches over me. He guides my steps.
steps. He's a living God. He's taking care. He's leading me. Blessed be his name. Somebody give him a hand clap of praise.
I can put it before God and it becomes an idol. Even, now listen, it may not be wrong in and of itself, but if it ever comes between me and Jesus, I've got to get it out. I've got to get it out. He said, I'm sorry, I'm preaching too long this morning. He says, number one, you need to let there be a heart that is ambitious after the things of God. Let Jesus captivate your ambitions. Secondly, this morning, the Bible says this. Amen. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Attention. What is he trying to teach you and me, Brother Estes? I'm so glad you asked. I never thought you would. Number one, Jesus is to captivate my ambitions. Number two, Jesus is to dominate my attention. My mind, amen, is to be on the Lord. That doesn't mean I walk around every day saying Jesus, Jesus. No, 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 no. Amen. That's vain repetition. But my mind is to be centered upon him. My mind is to be thinking upon him. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You let Jesus captivate your heart. You let Jesus dominate your attention. Now, I'm there in Croatia, and because all their young people can speak English over there. If you're ever in Eastern Europe, been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, okay? And you don't know where to go, you don't know which train to get on, and you're looking and you're like, don't have a clue. Look around and find somebody young. Don't find some old person. They don't know anything. Find somebody young. And then you hand them, and you go, where do I need to go? Oh, you need to go to this train over here. Fine, thanks. I'm in the Croatia. People, I want you to repeat after me. And I would say it, then they would say it. Then I would say it, then they would. And I would say this. If it gets in my eye, and they would say, if it gets in my eye. And then I would say, if it gets in my ear, if it gets in my ear, it gets in my mind. If it gets in my eye, it gets in my ear, it gets in my mind. You mind if I just repeat after me, please? If it gets in my eye, if it gets in my ear, it gets in my mind. If it gets in my eye, if it gets in my ear, it gets in my mind. One more time. If it gets in my eye, if it gets in my ear, it gets in my mind. Beloved, do you understand there's an ear gate, there's an eye gate, and the enemy is trying to work on the eyes and he's trying to work on the ears because he's trying to work on your mind. And if he can get your mind, then brother, he's trying to get your heart. That's why you got to keep your ears sanctified. That's why you got to keep your eyes sanctified. That's why you got to keep looking unto the Lord and listening for the Lord. Can you say amen? Well, I don't know why my mind always thinks of the vilest of things. Probably because you're letting your ears and eyes see and listen to the vilest of things.
Just a hint, just a thought. I mean, not
spirit of discernment, just spirit of common sense. Hello. It was Martin Luther that once said, what you sing is what you believe. There's a connection between hearing it and it getting right up here. Uh-huh. God, there's some wonderful new songs out there. I love them. But I kind of get worried if I ever go to one of these churches and all they sing about is, we're so weak, we always fall. We cannot stand. No, not at all. I'm like, somebody open up that redback hymnal and start singing victory in Jesus. Amen. Amen. Listen, what you sing is what you'll start believing. You're listening to the trash of this world. You listen to that. I know I'm in Texas. You listen to that country mess where took the pickup truck, mama left me. Oh, you're going to have the same problem. You're going to have the same mindset. You need to get sanctified. You need to get that out of your mind. You need to get that out of your ears. And bless, I say amen. God's trying to help you. Say amen. Now, y'all probably don't have this guy over here, but I'm telling you, we have him in Kentucky. It's amazing how he gets around. Every now and again, I'll pull up to a red light. I don't know how he finds me, but he does. I'll pull up to a red light, and right next to me he'll pull his car up and it'll be doing this. Have y'all got him over here too? I don't know how that dude gets around, man. Now, I'm not wanting to listen to it, but good mercy, folks five blocks away can hear it. And if you ever notice, it's always something violent. I mean, literally, not little ears, I want to be careful how I say, shooting people in authority, disrespecting and disobeying parental authorities and guidance in your life, hating everybody. Now, here is the irony. Ever have the boldness just to ease your eyes over, and then the same person that's listening, if they ever look back at you, they're looking at you like this. You know why he's got that on his face? Because he's got that in his mind. You're letting it in your ears. You're letting it in your eyes. You let it in your mind. Turn your eyes back on the Lord. To turn your eyes back on the Lord. What you behold is what you become. Say amen. It may not happen, but what you behold, you sure do become. Slowly, you keep your eyes on this world, you'll be transformed, conformed to this world. You keep your eyes on Jesus, you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Say amen to me, somebody. I'm telling somebody, you've been looking for an answer. God's trying to talk to you today. It's time you sanctify your eyes and ears and bring it to the Lord and say, God, would you dominate these two gates? I'm sorry, story time, Brother Zane. I didn't mean getting story time, but here it is. I'm there in Sudan, South Sudan. And I remember we're going to that base camp, and there's these Sudanese ladies. And when they're walking just like this. They're buckling their neck like an old cow would walk. Not gracefully, normally like a lady would walk. And a brother next to me said, Brother Estes, do you see that? I said, sure, I see that. He said, what do you think that is? I said, I'm not sure. I'm not saying that they are Hindu, but I can tell you this. Somewhere in their life, they worship those cows. They've stared at that beast long enough. They began to take on the attributes of the beast they've mesmerized. You stare at this world long enough, you will take on their attributes. You turn your eyes back to Jesus. He will fill you and refill you. He will touch you. What you behold, you always become. I had a brother tell me one time. He said, Brother Estes, he said, man, I read about it. There was a tribe in India, and the way that the boys, you know, was kind of initiated in becoming young men. They'd lay them down on their belly. They'd take a razor-sharp rock, and they'd begin to start making little 2-3-inch cuts in their back. And they would make it little by little over and kind of shape it like a diamond over and over. And then they would take nasty mud and smear it all over those open wounds. And for the next 2 or 3 days, them boys would just lay on their belly and scream in pain. But as those things began to heal, that infected wound, that scar tissue would begin to rise. And if you looked at the back of that boy, it would look just like the back of a crocodile. I looked at the young man telling me that. I said, I have one question for you, son. Perchance, did that tribe worship crocodiles? He said, yeah, Brother Estes, how do you know that? I said, it's easy. You always become what you behold. God. Oh, Lord, may our eyes be stayed upon thee. Oh, Father, may our ears be stayed upon thee. I'm trying to give you just 5 minutes and I'll close. Jesus is to captivate my ambitions. Jesus is to dominate my attention. There again, don't push that to the extreme where you walk around blindfolded just repeating the name of Jesus. No, that's bondage, that's not freedom. But throughout this day, your mind is stayed upon him because you've feasted on his word. You've heard his goodness. You've listened to the ways of God. Amen. You've built that most holy faith up. You've prayed. You've heard God's word. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And those things have taken your life and transformed you and begin to shape you and mold you. That throughout the day, it's not a struggle. It is a delight because your mind is upon the things of God. Can you say amen? I close this morning. Paul tells us Jesus is to captivate my ambition. He is to dominate my attention. Jesus is to regulate my actions. Verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon this earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man. Paul's, it matters what we do. If not, we're on a totally different plane. But if he's really everything, and he'll captivate this, he'll dominate this, he'll regulate this. I said he'll regulate this. I know those boys, and I know that because they've got a great fancy YouTube page. Because they got slick advertisements. Our young people are getting sucked into it. And it's a false gospel. You can live any way, do anything, act any way, and boy, heaven's just the sweetest. No, ma'am, no, sir. Now, you hear me. But there'll be no sin that makes it to heaven. Can you say amen? That's the only two places you're ever going to find. It's either going to be pardoned by Christ or punished in hell. But it'll not make it in that celestial city. Say amen. It matters how we live our lives. I close. You can start anytime you like. Jesus, are you really everything to me? And he allows us to examine our own hearts. Has he captivated? Has he dominated? Has he regulated? If not, it may just be words right here and not from right here. Brother Matthew, I heard one time of a man, he was touring there in Italy. And as he was walking down a little road, he looked over and he saw a beautiful home with an exquisite garden. The door, the gate was open, so he just got to walk right in. And the man looked around and he saw the most beautiful sights. Flowers just perfectly pruned and beautifully blooming. He said, this place is amazing. And then he happened to notice there was a gardener over there in the corner, and he walked to me and said, excuse me, sir. I beg your pardon. He says, is this your place? The gardener never stopped trimming, never stopped working, just said, oh, no, this is not mine. It belongs to a certain man. Well, is he here? The gardener said, oh, no. He hasn't been here for several years. He said, how do you know what to do? He said, well, every now and again, he just sends a message, and I just make sure that the place stays wonderful. When's he coming back? The gardener continues working. He says, I have no idea. And then the man looked. He said, sir, you have this place looking like he could return tomorrow. And for the first time, that gardener stopped. And then he put down his shears and he looked at the visitor and said, no, sir, not tomorrow. Today. I want to live my life that if Jesus were coming today, tomorrow, today, I can look at him with honesty, that I can look at him with integrity. You're truly everything to me. You are my all in all. Oh, Father, captivate my heart. Oh, Father, dominate my mind. Oh, Father, regulate my life that I might be pleasing unto your darling Son. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, our hearts are open this morning. Oh God. I believe God, by his own sovereignty and providence, has brought a preacher by this morning simply to ask you one small question with one great response. Is Jesus really everything to you? Now, you don't have to come and answer that question to me, but you do need to search your own heart this morning and ask him Father, are you still captivating me? Is my mind stayed upon the Lord? Are the actions and intentions of my life congruent with God's divine word? Father, I thank you for this morning. I'm asking you to touch these dear people. I pray, God, that every man and woman under the sound of my voice, and for those that are listening in this morning, they would search their hearts. We would search our lives. And that no one would leave here without an absolute full assurance that Jesus is everything in our hearts.